1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
And strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. We have an enormous podcast waiting for you today. There's so much to get to. A massive road trip for the Mariners. A 6-3 road trip as they sweep aside the Tampa Bay Rays. Felix Hernandez. Wow. We're going to talk about him a lot for good reason. Felix was simply sensational. A great pitching matchup. And, boy, did that live to the billing or what? They were both outstanding. Chris Archer, Felix Hernandez, toe-to-toe. We're going to break down the game last night coming up as the Mariners get the sweep over the Tampa Bay Rays. Also, I asked for your tweets last night. Sometimes describing Felix Hernandez is actually incredibly difficult. He's so good that describing him can be difficult. So the question I threw to you on Twitter last night, at Gary Hill Jr., and it's a simple question, but not so simple of an answer. How good is Felix Hernandez? And I'm going to read some of the tweets that you sent in last night. Those were fun to read. So that's coming up. Colin O'Keefe is going to be here. We're going to talk all things Mariners a little bit about Felix Hernandez as well. And you get to meet somebody. Have you ever wondered who at Mariners is? Well, you're going to meet that person coming up in just a few. Josh Kearns is back with another great feature. This one is on Seattle Mariners social media. And you get to meet at Mariners. And he's a great guy, Nathan Rauschenberg, who's outstanding. You're going to meet him. That's coming up as well. Before we get to the breakdown of the ball game coming up, and I have some pretty incredible numbers to share with you, as I usually do when Felix Hernandez is on the mound. But some pretty fantastic news. We, all of us, the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast, the most listened to Major League Baseball podcast this year. Every team has their own podcast, and the Seattle Mariners, most listened to. And there's a couple reasons I mention it. One is it's a handy time to thank all the other people that get involved with this on a daily basis. A lot of them behind the scenes you don't hear from. Matt Nelson, one of them. Matt Harden, another one as well. They help me with all the audio on a daily basis, which I just can't thank them enough. Aaron Goldsmith, a constant contributor and supporter as well. Shannon Dreyer, Rick Riz, Mike Blowers, Kevin Kremen, the whole crew. Everybody makes it happen. Certainly appreciate that. Nathan Rauschenberg, who I mentioned just a second ago, always has been a big supporter of the podcast. And this is exciting for me because this is something that I feel like we launched together. A lot of you have been here since the beginning, before this was hosted by MLB, and it's just kind of grassroots and building it, and it's just kind of getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I expect to get bigger and better as we move forward, but pretty exciting times, and I give you all the credit in the world because without you, there would not be a Seattle Mariners baseball podcast. You're the ones that have helped this grow. I talk about it all the time. I mean, when you tweet me and the Mariners, when you leave feedback for me and the Mariners, that's huge. When you retweet about what we're doing on the podcast, it's huge because it really is a social media grassroots kind of campaign. This is what we've built. And I mention it from time to time. When you leave reviews and ratings on iTunes, that helps us a lot. So anything along those lines really helps. But more than anything, I just love the interaction with you, talking Mariners baseball every single day here on the podcast. And you can always, as you know, reach me at Gary Hill Jr. You can email me as well, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. And the stories that I get are just awesome whenever you contact me. Just a couple from recently. How about John Budge, who recently contacted me? This is outstanding. Listens to the podcast every day on his run to work, runs 3 miles to and from work every single day, has been a longtime Mariners fan, but now, as he described it, he's dodging traffic listening to the podcast, which is so cool. So, John, thanks for listening. Certainly appreciate it. And there's so many stories like that. Eric Price, who sent me an email recently. And you can find him on Instagram because he's got something pretty cool going. At E Price Music is where you can find his Instagram account. He's in California, and he put together a cool, what can be a T-shirt or what can be a flag or whatever. It's kind of a Seattle Mariners California twist. And everyone can meet up in California and all be fans together and whatever. No, but that's very cool. Eric, thanks for sending that. Abby Sports Fan, who's been a longtime listener to the program, Wayne Dahl at Abby Sports Fan, who when the day Kyle Seager swatted those two home runs just a couple games ago, his 9-year-old daughter hit her first and second home runs in the same game as well. I mean, stuff like that is so cool. I love the interaction throughout the day, just talking baseball. I love talking baseball. So, yeah, let's just keep this rolling. And, yeah, just want to thank you, whether you've been here since the beginning or whether you just started listening today. I appreciate it. And, yeah, let's keep it rolling. This is fun. Speaking of fun, let's get to the game yesterday. We talked about it coming in that it was going to be a great pitcher's matchup. Felix Hernandez, in my mind, is if not the best pitcher in baseball, which I think he is right now, certainly the best pitcher in the American League. Chris Archer, to me, I might have him in the top five in the American League, and that may be premature. I mean, there's a lot of good pitchers going right now, whether it's David Price or Kluber. Sonny Gray, I think, is there. Keuchel's really good, but I think Archer is right there. I think that guy is so good. So I thought we were going to have a great matchup coming in, but both of those guys, I think, even surpassed what I envisioned for the ball game yesterday. It was remarkable. Two guys who were dominating the baseball game. Two pitchers at the top of their game, going toe-to-toe, just going at it, and it was a beautiful thing to watch.
Mariners could use another double play right here. Felix set, checks the runner. First pitch to Butler. Swung on, hit off the mound. Cano will take it. Step, throw, got him. Double play. Inning over. Oh, baby. Fourth double play of this ball game for Felix Hernandez and the Mariners. Oh, right on the money.
What's fun about pitching, too, you often see pitchers, they can dominate in very different ways. And for Archer, it's just that raw stuff, that mid-90s gas to go along with a wicked change and a great breaking ball as well. But just that pure stuff, and he was just blowing it by the M's. 8 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, and 12 punch-outs on 95 pitches. Just that raw stuff, domination. Meanwhile, Felix, and this is what I think you've got to love about what he did. Knowing it's a short bullpen, just a 6-man pen, they got worked yesterday, and he's just throwing ground ball after ground ball after ground ball, 4 double plays right after the 4 hits that he gave up during the ball game. Of course, he did mix in some strikeouts as well.
Here's a 2-2. Breaking ball, get him looking, strike 3. Felix Hernandez ends the 7th inning with his 5th strikeout.
All zeros on the board. 1-8, all zeros. And as both teams even struggled to threaten both those guys, they were just on their game. Here's the difference. Felix Hernandez, though, pitch count, he was basically pitching to contact, which is weird to say when you strike out 8, but he was getting a ton of ground balls, just everything, just low in the zone, low, 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 burying everything, and they're just pounding it into the ground, and his pitch count is low. Meanwhile, Archer striking out everybody, but after 8 innings, his pitch count at 95. So Tampa Bay turns to their closer in the 9th inning to try and get it to the bottom of the 9th tied. Brad Boxberger, I'll have more on him in a second, but the Mariners did it again. Just some tremendous ABs in the 9th inning to make it happen. And all with 2 outs. Zunino strikes out looking. Jackson strikes out swinging. And then Seth Smith draws a walk. And I've talked about it so many times. He is such a professional hitter. And there it is right there. He walks. Cano walks. Smith goes to second base. Taylor comes to pinch run for Smith. 2 outs. Nelson Cruz steps up, and he does it once again.
The stretch and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball deep into right center field. Guyer on the run going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It may have gone into the Rays' fish tank. Holy smoke, Nelson Cruz with an opposite field, two-out, three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. His 18th home run of the year, and the Mariners lead the Rays 3-0, and that one was headed to the fish tank.
It went into the tank. It went into the Ray tank. Unbelievable. Nelson Cruz, a three-run bomb. The Mariners, a three-run lead. And then Felix Hernandez going to the hill in the ninth inning to close it down.
Felix, another tug at the bill of that cap. Looks in, ready, the sign from Zunino. And the 1-2 to Butler. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and it's over. Felix Hernandez shuts out the Tampa Bay Rays. A complete game, four-hit shutout, the 11th in the wonderful career of Felix Hernandez. He gets a bear hug from Mike Zunino. The Mariners blank the Rays, a final score of 3-0. And the Mariners get back to 523-23.
There it is. Unbelievable. Mariners at 500. Long climb back. A 6-3 road trip after a 6-3 homestand. Back to 500, sweeping aside the Rays, and now they take on the red-hot Cleveland Indians for four. We'll talk about that coming up as well. But Nelson Cruz will start right there. 18 home runs now. Keep in mind, the Mariners had 19 home runs from their cleanup spot all of last season. Nelson Cruz swats his 18th home run. He's got 38 ribbies, batting .341 on the season. Bryce Harper tied him. So Harper and Cruz, the home run leaders in Major League Baseball, both with 18 long balls. And that was a huge one to back up Felix Hernandez. The King was absolutely sensational. We'll get to him in a second. But the thing that I am so impressed about was how they did it again. And Brad Boxberger, they did it again. Boxberger entered the series with a 1.10 ERA. That's two earned runs, no homers on the season. No runs, no extra base hits since April 16th coming into the series. And the Mariners in two games, two home runs, four runs off of him. I mean, basically a month and a half of untouchable baseball for the Tampa Bay closer, who's really, really good. And the Mariners get him for two homers, four runs, and win two games off of him, which I find remarkable. And Nelson Cruz, that was just so big time. Doing it with two outs. Swatting the long home run. That was just an unbelievable moment this season. Getting the Mariners to 500. And, of course, the King, Felix Hernandez, dazzled. And he has dominated the Tampa Bay Rays. Think about this. In the last four starts now that Felix has faced Tampa Bay, he is thrown a perfect game, he's thrown a complete game shutout, and he has set his career high in strikeouts with 15. Those are three of the four most recent starts against Tampa Bay, and guess what? If the rotation stays the same, Felix is going to pitch against Tampa Bay at Safeco Field next Saturday. Oh, can you hear the moans and groans from the Tampa Bay clubhouse right there? They do not want to face Felix Hernandez once again. Felix is going to pitch twice on this upcoming homestand, Monday against the New York Yankees and then Saturday against Tampa Bay. And I talk about it all the time. When he's pitching in Seattle, when he's at Safeco Field, if you can at all, if there's any way you can get to the ballpark, you have got to get to the ballpark to watch the King. Felix, a 1.91 ERA, second in the American League. 71 strikeouts, third in the American League. Opponents are hitting a .195 against Felix. That is second. And his whip, 0.89, first in the American League by far. Ridiculous numbers for the King. Unbelievable. Complete game shutout. And not to mention, eight wins now for the King, all before June hits. And what a great matchup with Chris Archer, too. And I played on the podcast yesterday, if you missed it. Should replay it to hear what Archer said about Felix Hernandez, because he studies him, especially his changeup. I mean, he is who he is modeling his game after. And, well, a tip of the cap to Archer, because he was sensational. His last two starts against the Mariners, 14 and a third scoreless innings with 14 strikeouts, and the Rays lost both games because he faced Felix in both games, and the last two games that Felix has thrown, 16 innings, no earned runs, and 23 strikeouts. Unbelievable. Felix, absolutely dominant. And that was just a fun, great ball game, and what was a highly entertaining and great series as the Mariners sweep aside the Tampa Bay Rays. One more for you, which I think is pretty cool. As of yesterday afternoon, right after the Felix game, the sixth start already for Felix of 7-plus innings pitched while only allowing one run or fewer. That ties him with the Padres, the Phillies, the Brewers, the Marlins, the Astros, Cleveland, Baltimore, and he's two ahead of the White Sox. Six starts of 7-plus allowing one run or fewer. And he's tied with a handful of teams, their entire rotations. That's the kind of year that Felix Hernandez is having. So we're going to preview the Cleveland series coming up, but I want to read some of these tweets, which I think are outstanding. And everything I just went through is why I asked the question, because describing him, it's actually challenging sometimes how good he is. It really is. So I went to Twitter and I asked the question, how good is Felix Hernandez? Here are some of the answers. I wish I could get to them all. Really great responses, but here are some of them. This is from at Goofy M's fan. He's so good, batters become his teammates so they don't have to face him. That reminds me of an interview I saw with Nelson Cruz before the season, and they asked him about that, about being teammates with Felix Hernandez, and he broke into the widest grin you can possibly imagine. And, yeah, that's certainly a benefit of signing with the Seattle Mariners. You don't have to face Felix Hernandez. At Noah's a dork. Just choose from this list. Main, master, number one, numero uno. It goes on and on and on. For Matt Husky Husker, strikingly good. I like this one from NW Trifest. Every year, another batch of new guys for Cy with him. He stays, they don't. Pedro-like. That's a good one. I love the Pedro comparison. I think is really good. For Matt Chopbra, he is fast becoming the most influential Mariners player ever. Hope the M's can take him to the playoffs soon. Oh, I think we'd all like to see that, wouldn't we? Felix Hernandez in the playoffs. From J. Cole 19, Santa writes letters to Felix to tell him he's been a good boy this year. Oh. From at Ethan Novak, good with a capital wow. D1 LOL player, he is so good, he can strike out Chuck Norris with one pitch. And he doesn't even need a beard. That was my addition. But, yeah. This is simple. From Mace W21, he's the best pitcher in the game today. That's a discussion I think we should have coming up. Because there's a lot of good pitchers that are having really good years right now. But I think that would be an interesting discussion to have at this moment. From BUH Money, greatest active pitcher, future first ballot Hall of Famer. I think considering what he is right now and what he has done, I think you have to say he's the greatest active pitcher right now. And first ballot Hall of Famer, well, he's walking that path, I'll say that. From at Mass Casualty P, Randy Johnson-esque, and that is a high compliment. From Kel Cody 42, Felix is more than Cy Young good. He's an ultimate ace with the nastiest stuff in the majors. I'd put him at MVP. This was a great one. From Dunk CFPD. He's the best around. And then has a gif of Danny LaRusso winning in Karate Kid. Oh, that is outstanding. That is so good. Oh, I can watch that one over and over and over. I have to keep going, though. That's outstanding. From Cherb247, King Felix is top 10 in the game right now, top 25 of the past 30 years in all of MLB. From at Cali Rengstorf, the best in the game. There's been a lot of that. FIP, my whip, the best in the game right now. This is a good one, too. At Rebecca Firth 1. Well, he has two entrances into the Baseball Hall of Fame in a decade-long career. He may have more when it's all said and done. This from at Solo El Rio. I smell another Cy Young. We're going to talk about that coming up with Colin O'Keefe a little bit about Felix and Cy Young last year and this year. From JBoz3, he's so good you wish you could clone him four times to start every day. Larry, Jerry, Harry, and Barry Bernandez. A whole rotation of Felix. That would work. This is a timely one because I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes. This from Thomas Lee, 23. But Colby Lewis has a higher WAR than him. And that, I'm so glad you sent me that because... Well, I'm going to talk about that with Colin O'Keefe coming up in just a little bit. From Mike KLAY 1180, best of this era, 9 years, 30-plus starts. Yeah, he just churns them out, doesn't he? From CSL Batmobile, we are in the midst of an historic career. If he can maintain his health, we're looking at a Nolan Ryan-type career. Just think about that for a second. That's incredible. From at Emerson Shotwell, in 10, 20 years, he'll be considered one of the greatest of all time. Principal L. Smith, better than the rest. I mean, this is so good. I wish I could get to all of them. I just keep going. We'll have to do this again because this was fun. I had a good time with this. And remember, you can tweet me at any point for the podcast, at Gary Hill Jr., questions, statements, and whatever the case may be, and I will get them on. So, the game yesterday. Let's get to Felix Hernandez. Here was the king after the ball game.
That was a tough competition. I mean, he's a really good pitcher. He would just pound and strike on and strike out a lot of people. For me, I just got to go out there and just match every inning.
How much more do you raise your game when you know that you've got a matchup like that and it starts the way it does?
Well, every time you face a guy like that, you never got to be up every time. So I was not pumped. I was just calm, trying to make good pitches. Throw a lot of innings, keep us in the game and win the game.
You come in the first inning, and what kind of stuff do you think you have? And there are days you might be strikeout today, double play, you're getting ground
balls. It's in double plays. Double play was, I was down in the song. Defense was really good. And then the change was working good.
So it was what, everything kind of down in the zone today? It seemed like the change of
everything. Everything was down. Good sink, good curveball. Few sliders.
Hey, what are you thinking when you see Nelly touch that one off?
That was pretty good. That's the run that we need. So, game's over.
What does it mean to you to get to go back out on the mound in the ninth inning?
I had like 70 pitches. So yeah. Need to go out there and just finish it.
I love that statement. That was the run we need. Game over. He knew it. And it was over. Complete game shutout. What about the skipper, Lloyd McClendon? Here's what he had to say about the King.
What a performance. I don't know what to say about the guy. I don't need a complete game. He goes out and gives us a complete game. It's phenomenal.
And then your home run hitter when you need one?
Yeah, three-run homers, not bad. They make you feel pretty good. So, he was outstanding.
His duels don't always live up to the billing, but today, I mean, that was two guys just going
to... This one lived up to the billing. Yeah, I agree. I can't say enough about their young starter. He was tremendous. I mean, at times dominating. 97 with the fastball, good changeup, good slider, occasional curveball. He had it all going. And needless to say, I was happy to see him leave the game.
And then Mike Zunino talking about the approach with Felix Hernandez in this one.
Every hit we gave up, we turned a double play. So it was one of those things where, I mean, that helps a lot. And our infield played great, and it's just nice to have that play all around.
How good was Archer? Because, I mean, you got to catch Felix and hit against him.
He's the real deal. I mean, he's got some good stuff. And, I mean, he's got good feel, too. I mean, he's not just up there chucking it. I mean, he's mixing his off-speed pitches. He throws a slider at different speeds, makes a changeup in the lefties. So, I mean, he's got a good feel, and I think that's the reason why he's had so much success this year.
How about this? I mean, 6-3 road trip. After 6-3 homestand, you're finally back to 500. It's been a climb.
It's a good feeling. And then, you mean, we had to grind out those first couple months, and we're looking forward to get back home and hopefully continue it. But back to 500 and hopefully make a climb here.
I jumped in a little bit late, but you were talking about you knew you could pitch to contact today.
Like, yeah.
When you're getting ready for this game, I'm sure that's an option, but when do you know you can do that, and how do you adapt to that?
I mean, usually with Felix, we come in the same way. I mean, we know how we want to attack guys, but, I mean, guys attack Felix different. They either want to come out and be aggressive and swing early, or they want to be patient and try to wait him out. And today they came out swinging early, and he made pitches, and he kept the ball down in the zone, and he kept filling the strike zone up, which is the big thing when you want to pitch to contact.
You know, I think there were times last year when guys, that would almost be the strategy, swing early, and there seemed to need to be some adjusting to that. Is it kind of turning now that you...
Yeah, you mean it's tough, because, I mean, there's multiple ways. I mean, when he's got everything working, I mean, and he can get ahead of 0-2, I mean, he's trying to put guys away. But when they're swinging early, I think the biggest thing is just executing his pitches, and we can get out. And, I mean, it's sort of a double-edged sword, because if they're swinging early, they can run into some balls. But, I mean, I think he did a good job of staying down the zone today.
So that leads us to tonight and what starts a nice long homestand at Safeco Field. Four games against Cleveland that will take the Mariners into June. Three against the Yankees, and Felix will start the first game of that series on Monday. Then the Rays come to town for four, and Felix will pitch again on that Saturday. Tickets already on sale for Kings Court for Monday against the New York Yankees. But first things first, Cleveland here for four, and Jeff Evans tweeted out something fascinating. The Mariners will face number one Kluber, number two Archer, number three Salazar, and number 11 Bauer, AL strikeout leaders in a five-game stretch. Kluber is one, Archer is two, Salazar is three, Bauer is 11, all in a five-game stretch. That is good stuff from at Jeff R. Evans. That is not going to be easy stretch. Cleveland playing good baseball right now. Kind of similar to the Mariners where they struggled to start, but they've really picked it up as of late, 7-3 in their past 10, and their offense has been scorching. They're very talented in the rotation. They have a ton of big arms. We'll get to the rest of the series coming up tomorrow, but we'll concentrate on this one first. Corey Kluber will go against James Paxton. And I don't think I have to tell too much of the backstory about Corey Kluber, the defending Cy Young Award winner, although I think most people in the building tonight may take exception to that. Kluber this year, 2-5, a 3.49 ERA on the season. He's the leader in strikeouts by a fairly significant margin in the American League. And a lot of that came in back-to-back starts. He had actually scuffled for a few starts this year against the White Sox at the end of April. He gave up 6 earned runs and 13 hits in 6 innings. Against Kansas City at the end of the month, he gave up 4 earned runs on 10 hits and 6 1/3. The start after that, 4 runs in 5 innings against the Blue Jays, 8 hits. Start after that, 5 runs in 5 2/3 innings at Kansas City. So really, 4 starts in a row where he really struggled. And he bounced back in a huge way against St. Louis, went 8 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, and 18 strikeouts. And he followed that up with a complete game, 1-run effort against the White Sox, where he walked 1 and fanned 12. 2 monster starts in a row. And then his last time out against Cincinnati, he went 8 innings, gave up 9 hits, and 1 run, and struck out 7. So all in all, he's gone at least 8 in his last 3 starts. He's given up 2 total earned runs, and he's fanned 37. So a monster three games in a row. So the Mariners, after facing Archer, who's one of the best, will now face Kluber, who's one of the best, and will have their work cut out for them. Although I would like someone to explain to me how, according to Fangraphs, that Kluber has double the WAR as Felix Hernandez going into yesterday, 2.4 to 1.2, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, given how just steady Felix has been, consistent, and consistent in a dominant sort of way. So we'll see what the M's can do. That's a complete aside, but we'll see what the M's can do. I'll talk about it more with Colin O'Keefe coming up too. So the M's take on Corey Kluber tonight. So the M's going to need a good start from James Paxton. That's how you try and knock off an ace, is you do what you did yesterday. Your starting pitcher goes toe for toe, and you try and steal one late. And that's what they're going to try and do against Kluber. James Paxton will go to the hill. The fireball-throwing lefty has been outstanding as of late. He gave up two runs in six innings against the Blue Jays last time out, and before that had 20 straight scoreless innings. He's dropped his ERA significantly from 8.40 on the 19th to where it sits right now, 3.52, and that tells you the kind of role he has been on. And the Mariners will need a good start from James Paxton. And it's not going to be easy. The top of the order in particular for Cleveland has really been stroking the baseball. Jason Kipnis is as hot a hitter as there is in Major League Baseball. He is crushing everything. Indians coming off of a 12-3 win yesterday as they pummel Colby Lewis and the Texas Rangers. They score eight runs in the third inning that really did the job. 17 hits in the ballgame for Cleveland. Kipnis, the Pac-12 standout, was at Arizona State. Right now batting .342, five homers and 22 RBIs. You look at his numbers now and you'd have no idea that he struggled to start the year. In April, batted .218 with a homer and eight RBIs. In May, he's batting .439. With four homers, 14 ribbies, and he's walked 14 times. He's at the top of the lineup right now for Cleveland, and he is as scorching as it gets. Left-handed hitter, so he's a tough customer to deal with. Batting second in the order is Carlos Santana, the former catcher, now at first base. And he's really starting to warm after a slow start to the season. Batting .221 with six homers and 27 RBIs. He is dangerous. He packs a wallop as well. He's a switch hitter, batting second in the order. He got hit on the left wrist the other night, so hasn't shown any ill effects since. Played in the game after, but that's something to watch. And, of course, one of the standouts from last year, Michael Brantley, really burst onto the scene. He scuffled to start the year, but he has been rolling, batting .313, four homers, 28 RBIs, also a threat on the bases. He has swiped seven bags so far, and he's got it cooking. His slow start really had more to do with injury than production, as he missed a handful of games early with a back injury, but he is back now, and he's rolling right along. So the top of the order is what you really have to deal with when you deal with the offense for Cleveland. So that's what the M's have in store tonight at Safeco Field. Hope to see you at the ballpark. 7:10 first pitch. Mariners a chance to get above 500 against the Indians tonight. Now we're going to hand things over to Josh Kearns, another excellent piece, this one on Mariners social media.
When the Houston Rockets knocked off their rival Dallas Mavericks several weeks ago in the NBA playoffs, the Rockets' social media manager put out a snarky tweet that included emoticons of a gun and a horse.
Go!
Needless to say, he's now the former social media manager. Not much of a surprise to the Mariners' digital marketing manager, Nathan Rauschenberg.
Common sense is obviously a very important part of this role.
Not that Nathan hasn't been tempted himself to get a little snide or smart-alecky on social media, but that's not the Mariners' way. And they've had plenty of opportunities to figure it out since longtime vice president of marketing Kevin Martinez and the team made social media a priority way back in 2009.
We really established sort of four pillars of social media. First and foremost, let's listen.
What are our fans talking about? What are Mariner fans talking about?
Then they engage. It's not uncommon for the team to respond to fans on Twitter or Facebook. In fact, a recent study found the Mariners directly respond to fans more than any other team.
I must follow you.
We're not always going to deliver on, you know, what fans want. Like, just because they say it doesn't mean we can do it. But if there's a lot of thought behind what they're saying, or we see these consistent themes, if they say, hey, we want more garlic fry sections, we're going to work to give them more garlic fry sections.
That's not the only way the team works to respond to fans. Rewarding them is another pillar. A growing movement online led the team to bring back a version of their old uniforms for Sunday home games this season.
You do have to be nimble, more nimble than ever before, and really understanding where the audience is and who that audience is, and then how are you going to communicate.
That's primarily Nathan's job. He and his assistant spend countless hours on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, especially on game days. With so much information, pictures, and video at their disposal, it's a delicate balance figuring out how much to post.
I don't want to overwhelm somebody's feed. I want to respect the fact that they followed us, but you know, they may be a casual fan. And so I try to space things out as much as I can, and there are certainly times where we just have so much going on that I can't share something.
And he admits there are times he'd like to share something, his own thoughts, especially when the Twitter trolls come out.
You have to be very aware of their existence and thinking before you tweet something out, how could somebody, you know, use a snarky reply? And that kind of rears its head a little bit more when the team is struggling.
But at the end of the day, Martinez says the goal of all their social media activities is simple. Give the fans a voice.
They've always had a voice. I just think the fans' voice is louder than ever. And it's a great opportunity to try to give the fans exactly what they want.
Unfortunately, there's one thing they can't give the fans on Twitter or Facebook: more wins.
Go!
The guys on the field have to take care of that. I'm Josh Kearns.
There it was. Thanks to Josh Kearns again. Great as always. And now, had a visit from Colin O'Keefe. Here it is. Oh, we have a special guest with us. You know him very well. Colin O'Keefe. You can find him on Twitter at Colin O'Keefe. You can find him at Lookout Landing as well. Editor over there. Colin, thanks a lot for the visit. Certainly appreciate it. Great time to visit after what was, well, it ended up being, it was a strange trip, but an excellent trip. After going 6-3 at home, they head out on the road, 6-3 road trip. Just a good trip for the Amps.
That was outstanding. And it's nice to join you and be able to talk about good news. We have times before, you know, where we've talked about, oh, here are the reasons why they might turn it around, or here's why we could be a little bit hopeful. And it's nice to talk today after a trip like that where, you know, we were a little bit worried after the first couple of games in Baltimore. They, you know, stumbled a little bit there, but man, the way they closed it out with that sweep in Tampa, and the way that they closed it out, the level of resiliency that they showed, you know, there were times where it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. And sometimes when you win ugly, it's even all the more impressive.
And one thing that wasn't ugly was that last game yesterday, Felix Hernandez against Chris Archer. What a matchup that was. We knew it was going to be a good matchup going in, but boy, that was, I think, even surpassed what we all expected. Those two guys went at it. That was a fun game.
That was unbelievable. Just the way that they dueled, they went back and forth. I mean, sometimes these matchups, you know, you see them on the calendar, you see them in the probables as soon as, you know, the Mariners PR rolls out the probables and you circle that date. You know, this is one of those ones where we knew it was going to be tough. That's why Tuesday night was so, felt like it was almost not a must have, but something close to it, because, you know, with Archer going the next day and then Kluber going tonight, you really wanted to get that Tuesday night game. But then Wednesday, they just battled, and it's tough sledding against Archer. They struck out, I think it was 14 times total in the game. But that's one of those things where the Nelson Cruz signing makes all the difference. They battled late against Boxberger. You know, that's the type of guy he's been one of the best closers in the American League early on so far, though I think both Seager and Cruz have put a little bit of a dent in his reputation.
<No doubt. laughs>
But yeah, it's one of those things where we've seen so many times in a game like that, you know, where the Mariners battle and they battle and, you know, it just doesn't go their way. But then eventually, you know, Felix exits and the other starter exits and, you know, eventually, you know, the Mariners struggle against the elite arms, and then you never know what happens on their side. Maybe the other team rolls a couple grounders through, and all of a sudden you have a loss. But, you know, on both sides of it, you have Felix pitching outstanding, like just so efficient. I think after every single hit he gave up, he got a double play. And then, you know, late, Nelson Cruz, just what more can you say about the guy? He's just, he's been able to put the team on his back in certain situations. And there are so many times, you know, there's two outs there. And, you know, there were times last year, you know, with the cleanup hitters that they had last year and the cleanup hitters they've had over the years, where it's just, they don't have that guy who can just say, this game's over now, we're done, we're getting on the plane and we're headed back to Seattle. And that's what Cruz did. It's just unbelievable for him to step into those situations and just say, you know, we're out of here.
No, no doubt about that. That was big time. And Felix Hernandez, in a game where they really needed the bullpen shorthanded with the six-man pen that they had to work hard the night before, and he goes nine. And I've asked the question, this has been my question of the podcast is, and I'll ask you the same question. How good is Felix Hernandez?
He's outstanding. It's just, and it isn't just the level of him at his peak, but the thing with Felix is the consistency from game to game. And it was the consistency on inning to inning and on pitch to pitch. I mean, there will be times where he makes a mistake, but the way that he rebounds is just incredible. And you could see tonight or yesterday that he didn't have any room for error. So he just was operating without a safety net just because of the guy on the other side. So he just went out there, and you could see just the way that he went about his business. And again, that stat where he gives up a single, he knows he's got the infield defense behind him. Last year, it was one of the best infield defenses in all of baseball, where he can just, he has the mentality that, you know, I know what I need to do to roll two right here, and I can go out there and I can do it. It's just the consistency on his part. And it's nice to see him. You know, pitcher wins aren't a good measure of how well a pitcher performed necessarily, but Felix earned that win yesterday. There's no doubt about that. And then it's nice to be sitting here, you know, just in late May with Felix with eight wins. The potential for him to put up one of those gaudy seasons that we haven't seen from a pitcher in a while. You know, if the Mariners, they've only been 500. If they perform to their expectations, boy, would it be nice to see Felix get one of those 22, 23, 24 win seasons. You know, not that that's the measure of a great pitcher, but it would be fun to see, certainly, even if it is something of an older statistic.
I agree with you on that. That would be fun to see. And you got eight already. It's awfully impressive. Something that I've kind of been tracking regarding Felix, I'd like to get your take on, is, you know, you go to FanGraphs and you look at WAR with pitchers, and he came into yesterday 27th in WAR. You look at FIP, and he's in the mid-30s in FIP. And like WAR, you know, Clay Buchholz has the same WAR that he does, which, you know, you look at their season side by side, it's hard to make sense of it. I feel like those numbers kind of hurt him when it was all said and done in the debate with Kluber last year. What's your take on where Felix fits in right now with WAR and FIP specifically?
It's really tough. I think one of the things that FIP's going to struggle with is the small sample size, but also, you know, for those who don't know what FIP measures, I mean, FIP is a very basic statistic. Basically, one of the key fundamental beliefs of a stat like FIP is that pitchers do not have control on balls that are put into play, that they have relative little to no influence on balls that are in play. So all that FIP is measuring are strikeouts, walks, and home runs. So if you're the type of guy that doesn't give up a ton of home runs, strikes out a ton of guys, and then doesn't walk anybody, but, you know, maybe every now and then you give up a little more hard contact or, you know, that type of thing, you're going to have a better fit. Felix, he's had some games where he's given up a couple home runs. He's had two homer games. He's given up seven home runs on the season. But already you've started to see his home runs per nine. It was at 1.02 before last night's start, and it's down to, I think, 0.89. So you're going to see these things start to stabilize. But also, you know, there have been studies done on this, but I think as we start to get some more of the advanced data, we're going to get a better feel for just whether or not pitchers can have control over balls in play. And it's a tough thing to come to grips with, the idea that pitchers have no control over anything but home runs, strikeouts, and walks. because ultimately what it's trying to do is just say there's no it's I mean, the FIP stands for fielding independent pitching. So it's trying to say there's no fielding, no, you know, nothing like that is being factored in here. Like, we're not taking a look at the runs you've given up at all. It was unfortunate to see Felix lose the Cy Young last year on account of things like that, particularly because you saw, you know, some writers guessing at the impact of defense and the impact of catcher framing. So it's difficult to see. I mean, there are other metrics that value Felix more appropriately in the top 10, and if not the top 5. You know, Kluber, you know, not to make this necessarily a Felix v. Kluber debate, but right. Kluber's, you know, he's a very high quality starter. And he obviously has a great deal of talent, but also, you know, at the same time, he has given up a fair amount of runs. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm ready to say that Kluber has performed twice as good as Felix over the first so many games. I'm not sure that FIP is intended to relay that, but it's just one of those things that's difficult because, you know, anecdotally, let's look at last night's game. Again, that statistic. Felix knew that he had to be efficient. He knew that he, you know, had to. He had a gas bullpen. He was going up against Archer, and the reason that the Mariners won the game is because Archer got taken out and Felix stayed in. Felix stayed in because he was efficient. He wasn't trying to strike out a bunch of guys. He was in because every time a guy got on base, he doubled them up, and those are the types of things that matter. And I just don't think we're to the point where statistics going to be able to capture that. And it's I don't mean to downplay advanced statistics because I enjoy them as much as everybody else, mm-hmm. but people need to understand their constraints. And when you take, you know, for example, in a Cy Young race, you take, you know, beat writers who have been on the job forever and are kind of, you know, coming in blindfolded, you know, feeling in the dark, trying to figure out which advanced statistics to trust and which not to trust. It's kind of an iffy situation, certainly.
Well, we've mentioned the name Kluber a few times, which is pretty timely because this is going to be a very interesting series, I think, starting tonight, a 4-game set with Cleveland. And Colin, I see a lot of parallels between these two teams. You have a lot of expectations for Cleveland, a lot of expectations for the Mariners coming into the season. Both teams struggle early on, but both teams have it cranked up now. Cleveland's been playing great baseball, 7-3 in their past 10. They've gotten things cooking. They have a very talented rotation. Guys at the top are hitting as well. The Mariners 7-3 in their past 10, sweeping aside Tampa Bay. And I think this is going to be a fun 4-game set at Safeco Field.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, this is going to be a good one. I mean, the Indians are fortunate that they it's always a I can't imagine how fortunate a team feels when they get a 4-game set and miss Felix, but yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. So, I mean, they're going in this without Felix, but then on the other hand, you know, most of their starters have been very good. You know, Cleveland's, they're battling back and their starting pitching has been very good. You have, you know, matchups both tonight and tomorrow night that when you look at how it goes, I mean, they're not favorable matchups. And that isn't to say that they're, you know, way behind, but I mean, Paxton's pitched very well. I mean, there's no way around that, but then again, it's Kluber. And then, you know, Friday night you got Walker going, which we're going to see, hopefully he can rebound a little bit. It's going to be an interesting series to see how much they can keep the momentum going, especially, you know, here in Seattle, we've got the warm weather. The more warm weather, I think you're going to see people turn out to the ballpark. So, I mean, if the Mariners can keep it going, you know, if Paxton comes out tonight and he beats Corey Kluber, that's going to be something. I'm going to be there tonight, so I'm excited to do that. I'm just excited to get back to the ballpark. It feels like it's been forever. But, you know, then you got Walker versus Bauer tomorrow night, which is difficult. But then, you know, you go back to Elias on Saturday, and, God, that guy's fun to watch pitch. So I'm excited to see how it goes. I think the Mariners have performed very well. The Cleveland's coming off a series against, I think, the Rangers. They are managed to take 3 out of 4 in this home series. I think Seattle is going to be pretty fired up as we near still 100 games to play.
I'm glad you mentioned Elias because he has been outstanding, and you were doing some good work on his changeup, which has become a serious weapon for him.
It's interesting. Yeah, one of the things that I tweeted out is that he's thrown the changeup 30 or more times, I think 3 times already this year. And that's something that only happened, I believe, once or twice last year. So he's really started to go to the changeup a lot more. It isn't something where he's talked a little bit about changing it up. And I've checked to see if the movement's a lot different or if he's getting more swings and misses. He isn't necessarily, but, you know, I haven't seen that it's moving a lot different or that he's generating a lot more swings and misses, but it's something that you can tell that he trusts a lot more, which is just, and that's going to be valuable for him, you know, versus the right-handed hitters. It's just interesting to see. I mean, he's the type of person who can, the type of pitcher who can develop a really quality third pitch. You know, you're looking at a number three starter. You know, I've always been somewhat high on Ronis Elias. I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't think he's going to be a top of the rotation type guy. But I mean, just because he's so fun to watch, he's the type of guy that I want to see do well, and I think he has a higher ceiling. But just the ability on that changeup, he's been throwing that a lot more. I think he generated 7 swings and misses in his last start off the changeup, which I believe I said was the most that he'd ever had on that pitch. And actually, in his last start, he generated more swings and misses than he's ever had in any game in his career. So, I mean, his ability to miss bats has been impressive so far. And it's just his ability to compete on the big stage has been really impressive. When I think we all saw that in Tacoma, which is what was so funny to see him, you know, plop into the major league rotation and you know, not just miss a beat, but perform exceptionally so far.
Yeah, Mariners are at 500, and a big part is him. I mean, he has really helped stabilize this rotation. I don't think it's a coincidence that the rotation really got it going when he came up. Also, Paxton turned it around at the same time, but he has been a huge part of this. I'm also interested to see, I don't expect the Mariners to put up huge numbers in this Cleveland series. I think they're going to have to win some close ball games to do it. But I am interested to see how this lineup develops now with Jackson back in center field, assuming Miller's going to play every day. And you had some interesting stuff on Miller I want to get to. In terms of what he has done comparatively the last year or so, compared to other shortstops, compared to other left fielders, he's been better offensively than people give him credit for.
And he's been quite good over the past calendar year. And I mean, these are probably numbers that have even, you know, improved, you know, just since, you know, I tweeted this out not long ago, because he had such a torrid, you know, I think it was a May or a June last year, but I think when I sent it out, he was the third best offensive shortstop over the past calendar year, looking at WRC plus, because just basically looking at all factors of offense when it comes to power, average, OBP, slugging. It tries to take it all into one statistic, and then it applies, you know, park adjustments and league adjustments as well. And over the past calendar year, by that statistic, Brad Miller's been the number three shortstop. And you know, Brad Miller, of course, isn't primarily a shortstop anymore. His flexibility is going to allow him to play there on certain days, which is certainly extremely valuable. But even when you look at him as a corner outfielder, you know, of course, he's not going to rank in the top three. He's at a WRC plus for reference of 117, which means he's been 17% above league average. So, I mean, that's not going to put him in, you know, the top three, but it does put him in right around the top 30. He's been only marginal over the past year. He's been only marginally worse than Ben Zobrist, and he's actually the equal to Hunter Pence. So over the past year, Brad Miller has hit exactly equal to Hunter Pence, a guy that is widely viewed as one of the Giants' best offensive players. And a guy, you know, and now that I say Hunter Pence, you could almost see Brad Miller being a little bit of a goofy Hunter Pence out in the outfield, couldn't you?
I know. I can picture that as well the second you said it. Mariners 500 now, 6 games back. The Astros lost. What do you think of the Astros right now?
The thing that I'm most interested to see, honestly, with the Astros is how they respond when they face adversity. I think that's one of the things that pops into my head the most, is when they face that inevitable 3-7 over their last 10, or the 2-8 over the last 10, how do they respond? I think they're a legitimate team. You know, I don't think they're going to be one of the best teams in baseball the rest of the way. I think they're going to ride the back of their bullpen very hard. And I think you saw already a little bit where they had to back off their bullpen usage a bit. And it's going to be interesting to see. They've been outstanding at scoring runs late in the game. I think they lead the league in scoring after the 7th inning, and it isn't even close between them and the second best team. We saw them when we played them. It was tough sledding, and it's tough sledding because you face the starters are tough, the front of the rotation is very tough, and then what makes it even tougher is if you go behind because, you know, you hung one pitch and Gattis hits it out, you go behind, their bullpen is outstanding. Their bullpen, I think, has the second best ERA in baseball. So it's tough sledding against that team because they can field, they can pitch, they can play defense. But still, I'm interested. I really want to see the makeup of that team once they face some resiliency. The Mariners now sit here today 6 games back. They're at 500. I think we've seen about as bad as things can go for the Mariners. I think there's going to be see some things come back to the pack. Like, you know, I don't know if Nelson Cruz is going to be quite as good as he's been the rest of the way, but I think there's room for improvement with the Mariners. And I think there's room for a little bit of regression with the Astros. It doesn't discredit them. I think they're a good team. I think they're a quality team. I think they're better than anyone gave them credit for. But I do want to see how they respond to a little bit of resiliency or a little bit of adversity is what I meant to say.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm right there with you. Well, great stuff as always. It's been fun. We'll do it again soon. Colin O'Keefe, you can find him at Colin O'Keefe on Twitter, and lookoutlanding.com, the place to go. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, man. Happy to join in. It should be a fun weekend at Safeco.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, well hit ball. Deep to right field. Back she goes, and this one is gone.
Get out the right field. Western Grandma. It is grand salami time.
Kyle Seager with his eighth home run of the season. The Mariners went without a grand salami all last year. A four-run shot for Kyle Seager, scoring Bloomquist, Cano, and Cruz. And it's now the Mariners 6 and the Rays 3. Dave Niehaus, that one is for you.
See you later!